Isaiah. It is emphatically a scene of anxiety and trouble. The world is likened to a valley of tears, to a howling wilderness. No wonder that the people of God are often rendered unhappy, and that they often require a refuge from the storm of life. True Christianity reveals a happy remedy by which we may be soothed and cheered in the midst of distresses. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You'll see me crying every once in a while. Not because I don't have peace. It's just that I'm human. There are certain things in my life that are very dear to me. I cry when the Star Spangled Banner is played. I see that old Stars and Stripes. I tear up when we say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I tear up when I see little babies born. Lizzie brought a little baby up this morning, first time I got to see him. Still haven't holded him yet. But he was sleeping, and I don't want to mess that up, amen. I'm a little smart there, amen. I see these little ones at the airport. For some of you who stopped up to see us the other day, I cannot thank you enough. All them kids holding signs and bringing me candy. And it's all gone. And I tear up when I see my widows. I tear up when I hear my organ and piano played. I'm a mess. But it doesn't mean that I don't have peace. And there's a lot of people that don't have peace. And they're crying about the wrong thing. They're fussing about the wrong thing. And I hope to God tonight that we can just for a little bit just sit around and talk about thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's peculiar to this world. Very peculiar. The world doesn't understand this peace. The world doesn't understand when a widow lady is sitting next to her husband who has just passed and she's saying, what's wrong with heaven? Praise God. We'll see him again. The world doesn't understand that. They just don't understand that. We're peculiar people. Not weird, though I do recognize that once in a while. We're peculiar. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. Father, speak to our hearts, and I beg you tonight that you would let us get through a night tonight, that you would show us the beauty of you. May we raise you up, Jesus. Raise you high above everything else. And may we point people to you. Lord, now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. First of all, I want you to notice the peculiar state of the mind described of a Christian whose mind is stayed on thee. When I was a little boy driving a tractor, my daddy used to say, now to drive a straight line in that field, you get something, object on that muffler, your eyes, the muffler or the exhaust, the exhaust of that tractor, and also something way down the end. Some of you farm boys know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't take your eyes off it. My dad used to say, don't take your mind off that now. And that's how my dad could get on a John Deere tractor. I never seen anything like it. And he could take it and go a mile, and it'd be straight as a string. Mine looked like a drunken soldier trying to go home, amen. My dad said, good night, man. What's wrong with you? And then one day he said, son, he said, I'm telling you what's going on. He said, you're taking your mind off what you're doing. Driving that old tractor, I was just a little boy. I'd think about all kinds of things. I'd dream about treasures. Maybe I'd hook onto a treasure with my tractor, dig down, man, maybe there'd be great treasures under there. Woo! And later I found out that's how Mormonism started. But anyway, I was thinking about, you know, doing some, you know, thinking about being with my buddies and going swimming and water skiing going to town. I had all kinds of things. And, man, I'd just drive that old tractor. Just, man, I'd have me a time, brother. But my daddy said, son, you're taking your mind off what you're doing. And you're thinking about other things. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say that, and I don't mean that to be, you know, a crazy illustration, but I think that sometimes that's what we do. What are we really supposed to be doing? I think we're taking our mind off what we're really supposed to be doing. Jesus said we're servants, servants of the Most High God. And our place of service should be, yes, Master. What do you want next, Master? Hey, how can I make your life easier, Master? A gentleman purchased a string of invitation pearls in Paris, which he paid 90 cents for. The necklace he gave his daughter for little dolls. And a jeweler one day came to his house with a talk, and all of a sudden, he seen this little girl musing herself with her new toy of pearls. And she says, how foolish you are to let that child have so valuable object to play with, remarked the jeweler's father. Valuable, he responded. I gave 4.5 francs for those the other day. I don't care what you paid for them, the jeweler said. Man, those pearls are real. Further examination proved the necklace back in the 1800s was worth $2,000. He who buys virtue gets the priceless pearls, and he who buys pleasure has a wax or glass imitation with no value. May I encourage you to buy virtue? Keep your mind on what you're doing. Realize that every step you take, people are watching you. That's why I said this morning, I'm not going to be here. Somebody's got to mow this lawn. Somebody's got to have this place looking nice. People are looking at us. You know, you have no idea how many police cars pull in here. And, you know, this is Chapman Shear's church. I'm sorry. That's what they think it is. I know it's your church, but they think it's my church. And they comment on how it looks. By virtue, do something for God this week. You're always praying for Him to do something for you. Why don't you do something for Him this week? Amen. Well, that's just preaching. Went away from my sermon. Now, this state of mind denotes right and satisfactory view of the divine character. If we view God as being a terror, we shall endeavor us to flee from Him. I was 12 years old. My father was a township supervisor, county commissioner, and he was having a town hall meeting. And in the hall, it was filled with capacity, and an old drunk got up. I can still remember him. And started shouting something. It scared me. I wouldn't know what was going on. Which had a few superlatives that I have never even heard before. And my father, who was chairing the meeting, my father stood up and pointed his finger at the drunk and thundered, sit down, one more outburst of you, and I'll have you thrown out of here. I never heard my dad ever do anything like that. My dad was a quiet and meek, great big farm man, but he was quiet and meek. Man, you could hear a pin drop. That thunder came from my father, and I knew that I could approach my father any time, and he loved me. And I remember on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights at church laying my head on his breast and listening to the preacher preach and hearing his heartbeat beat once in a while. Amen. I rode around on the tractor with him all the time, in the truck many miles to the livestock auctions, and I was not afraid of him. Though when I did wrong, he punished me, I was never afraid of him. But if we think of God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ as a great big brute, instead of a bountiful benefactor of human family, and as a gracious source of all our enjoyment, then we shall be able to stay our souls upon Him. Yes, God hates sin, and God will deal with us. But if you're a Christian, you understand that He will deal precisely and rightly and justly, not to hurt us, but to get us back in order or to train us. I raised three boys. I never wanted to hurt them. I spanked them. I told a judge one time, I don't care what you do to me. You can throw me in prison, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to spank those kids until I get my job done, because the Bible tells me, withhold the rod, spoil the child. I ain't going to have spoiled children. And he's put his hand out and he says, Reverend, I'm the same way. I said, I just didn't want you to deal with them. I want to deal with them when they're little. I don't want you to have to deal with them and put them in jail. When we understand God and we understand that He is there to, may I say, motivate us, He is there to correct us, He's there to encourage us, we realize that He's a Father that we can trust. Believing and having confidence in His Word. Now, His Word is full of gracious statements and affectionate declarations. His good will towards us, thus, must be experimentally realized. We must cordially receive all the Lord's works and explicitly accept their fulfillment. I trust God's Word. This is what God said. This is what God's going to do. He's on trial with us. And God loves us. Unfortunately, He shouldn't be on trial with us. We don't need to put God on trial. What He said, He means. And what He means, He says. Thus saith the Lord God. Amen. I heard a guy the other day, he was preaching, he said, well, I believe. And I said on the radio, I said back to him, I don't care what you believe, what does the Bible say? Right. It also includes a lively hope in His mercy and His grace. Faith has respect to His veracity and truth. Hope to His goodness and mercy. To stay our mind upon Him is to look to Him for the enjoyment of all good. Hope is the anchor which stays the vessel in time of storm. Remember the scriptures where Paul was in that vessel and they threw out the anchors. Stayed that vessel in the storm. The staff which stays the weary traveler. It includes satisfaction with the divine dispensations, a readiness of spirit to acquiesce in the Lord's dealing and the cheerfully to receive the appointments of His divine hand. It is committing all our ways to Him, casting all our cares upon Him, and setting Him always before us. I don't understand why I go through things. You don't understand why you go through things. But if you trust the Holy God of heaven, you know that He will not make one mistake. I make mistakes all the time. But I know that He will not make a mistake. He has my life in His hand. That's a good place to be. Secondly, the advantages raising from this state of mind, this is what I have to do. Verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. The blessedness arising from saying our minds upon him ascribed. Well, you remember over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, see, after you do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Peter said, chapter 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's pretty personal, isn't it? He cares for me. He cares for every step that I take in this world. And when I fail, and I will fail, and I have failed, and I'm going to fail, he's still there to, come here, son, I love you. And I care for you. I just don't want you to do that. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to this. I don't want you to that. He's always there helping me. Holy Spirit comes and revitalizes me. It is, in its nature, peace. It's not an ecstasy. It's not a rapture. It's not a transport. But peace, and I'm going to give you some opposites of that. Opposite of peace is aggression, restlessness, confusion, or alarm. But peace is understanding, clear, passion, quiet, conscience happy, the whole soul serene, peace with God, with ourselves, with all men. I trust in God. I don't understand anything's going on. I remember when we were praying for Sarah. I see her out there. Sarah just about went to heaven. And if I haven't talked to her about this, but I'll guarantee you that there's just something about it that you knew that God was going to take care of you. And peace overcomes us. I know that, Christina, you've been at the gates of heaven a couple times. And you know that peace that God gives you, we just don't understand it. It's just crazy. But that's what makes us peculiar. I trust God. I want you to look at the greatest character of this blessing, this perfect peace. In the Hebrew, it's peace. The translators in the King James translated 175 times peace, 14 times well, 9 times peaceably, 5 times welfare, and one time they translated salute. A man comes to attention, he salutes. He's at peace because he knows that man saluting him is his friend. Open hand. It's okay. I'm not here to hurt you. Sometimes I'm here to honor you. The completeness, the soundness, the tranquility, the friendship, the human relationship with God, especially in covenant relationship, peace from war. When Jesus Christ cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cried, it is finished. We went from war to tranquility with Jesus Christ. Dying on the cross gave us peace. That when we die, we'll go to heaven. We have a God who will rapture us and take us home. Perfect as its author, peace from God, all his gifts are perfect. Perfect in his appropriateness, just suited to our capacity, our desire, and circumstances. Perfect in its fullness and abundance of peace. Peace upon peace. Peace like the gliding waves of the sea. One follows and successfully another. Listen, there is a permanence of this peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Not only keep peace in him, but him in peace, so that he shall dwell in it, breathe its happy atmosphere, abide in its fortress. Not fleeting transit peace, but constant, durable, everlasting peace. I am saved. This morning I preached a sermon about doubting. I'll tell you what, when I wasn't really sure about being saved and I didn't have the spiritual ammunition, the Word of God, in my heart, I was one man most miserable. Because I wasn't sure if I was saved or not. But when the man realizes in the Word of God that he is saved, God gives you that peace that passes all understanding. Say, you know what? Come what? Come what? You know, whatever comes at me, I know that my Heavenly Father knows best for me. That's why June 6th, ventricular cardiac arrest, intensive care. That was Monday. Wednesday, I came in the back. Chad had already started the service. And I said to you folks, I said, don't you mess this thing up. How many remember that? Don't mess it up. You're devastated as I was. You love that lady. I love that lady. You're devastated. How could God ever do anything to a little lovely lady like that? I don't know. But Jesus taught his disciples, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Don't mess it up. Don't charge God foolishly. He has something going on. I don't know. It's more difficult ways. There's a lot of other things that, boy, that have to be done and things, you know. Pretty easy to pack your bags and run, but when you're leaving somebody that doesn't have the capacity like you used to, you know. Boy, I was really fussing with this thing, and I said, what have I done? Signed up for this? Well, boy, God got a hold of me last week in South Carolina and said, I'll take care of things. Who are you worrying about? Amen. Haven't I taken care of you before? Talked to Ruth Smith today. Brother Smith says, well, you couldn't have saved her life if you wanted to when she got that first time. Right, Brother Sear? I said, quit preaching. There's so many things we parents are, our family. You ain't going to do about it anyway, can you? Can you do anything about it? Hey, be a grandparent. You got kids that try to run your life? Then there's the grandkids? Whoo, man. Can't do anything about it anyway. Only thing you can do is pray and ask God for the peace to get through that thing. I've said this, I've said it a million times. All of us are going to go through troubles and sorrows. All of us. But you can go through the troubles and sorrows and say, dear God, I don't understand it, but you're ahead of this thing and we're going to let you hang it. We're just right on. We're just hang on. Or we can fuss about it and act like an atheist and act like God doesn't know what's going on with us. You're still going through it. How many know people that are not Christians that have financial troubles? How many know Christians that have financial troubles? What is the atheist or what is the man that does not have Jesus Christ when he has financial trouble? What does he do? Huh?
He works more.
Commit suicide. Runs, doesn't pay his bills. What does he do?
Alcohol.
Makes it worse. Stupid. Goes gamble. Oh, if I can just one more time. But a Christian, God, I know I did this. And most of the time we're in debt because of our stupidity. You can say amen or oh me to that one, amen. Just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper in it. Now, let's see, they gave me a new credit card. I'll just put that on there and I'll pay that credit card with this pair of credit and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Oh, yeah. But here's the difference between a Christian and an unsaved. A Christian said, dear God, I made a mistake. And I'm going to your Bible, and the Bible said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear God, I have sinned. Would you please help me in this thing? have someone to go to, and that's my peace. The world says, well, I can rob a bank, I can go steal some gas, I can this, I can that. Right? Have no hope. Let me ask you this. Are you still going through the trouble? Yeah, you're still going through. But when you have God on your side, you have peace. See, remarkable. How stupid us Christians get sometimes. Oh, woe is me. Look what's happening to me. I met Reed Smith. Reed Smith's wife was in terrible, terrible depression. She's going through her menopause. Really went to church. She stayed home. She took her son's, he was a deputy sheriff, took his service weapon, put it to her head, and says, I can't take this no more. Blew 3 inches, 3-inch hole off her skull. She never lived. Doctor said there's no way. Her head got twice as, her brain got twice as big. Her head got twice as big as normal should be. Gruesome. Now she can't see. She got her eyes. They've done some surgery. She can't see. She can't walk. But she still lives. 4 or 5 year old. Tough deal. Rudy said, I had to make up my mind. Can you imagine all the things that people said about him? Oh, Satan just tried to do everything he can. And I look at that, and I look at my wife, and my wife, everything's going good, everything's going. She has a heart problem, boom, heart stop, on and on. We don't have to deal with people who would like to sabotage our ministry. Brother Jim, he'll tell you, they tried to sabotage the ministry. Man, he's a great preacher. Satan wanted to shut him up. I'm just trying to get you something here. I'm trying to get you to know that even though you're a Christian, you're going to have problems. And many of these problems come to us because God wants to show you off to the world and say, you know what? Even though they're going through this, they still trust in me. It might be a good idea to you trust in me. And it's hard. Isn't it hard? When do I go through this stuff? Man, I don't know about you, but I like to go down the river. Down the shiny river. I just like to float, buddy. I don't like to paddle up. But God's saying, read the scripture about Job. Satan came to God. And God said to Satan, have you observed Job? Thanks a lot. Don't. Satan lies to God and says, hey, I'll tell you what. Old Job there, you take away from his family and his wealth. You protect him all his life. That's why he trusts in you, because what you've given him, that was a lie. And God said, okay, take it away from him. Lost his family, lost his wealth, lost everything. Satan comes again. He said, I'll tell you what, he's got good health. Skin for skin. He'd do anything. Right? He'd do anything. Good night. Next thing you see in the next thing you see in the series of his life, he's down at the dump with pop shirt, which are broken pieces of glass and pottery, and he's scraping the pus sacks off the man's body, his body. He's in ashes. has sores from the feet, the bottom of his feet, top of his head. He said, I won't charge God foolishly. Naked I came, naked I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, Job, are you crazy? Curse God and die. He said, you talk like the foolish women. You girls better be careful about what you say to your husband when he's going through trouble. He doesn't need that junk. He needs you to hug around his neck and say, it's okay, baby. We're going to make this through this. We're going to get through this thing. And if we don't, what's wrong with heaven? Now, I want you to observe this. There's a responsibility you and I have, and it's called a duty. There's a duty connected with this. That's Christian. I want you to know a duty. A duty is something you do whether you like it or not. Amen? It's like taking out the stinky trash. It's a duty. Look at what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord forever. Here we have the object of our trust. What? Who's the object of our trust? The Lord. Who possesses every attribute and every quality deserving of our highest and most implicit confidence and reliance. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Talking about Abraham here. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. My duty is to trust God. If God tells me to jump off this building, I'm going to jump off this building. God tells me to go to Nepal, I'll go to Nepal. Hard? Yeah. Man, I'd rather send her. At least she'd make him happy. But I'm going to serve God. Now, you may call it trivial or not, but I don't call it trivial serving God. I have to serve God. I will serve God. I'm going to serve God. Get on the bus or get out of the way because we're going to serve God.
Amen.
Say, well, Pastor, you know. No, I don't know. I know nothing but Jesus Christ crucified and risen and coming again. Amen. The omnipotent arm, the omniscient eye, whose heart is full of essential love, boundless mercy, and unchangeable goodness and eternal truth. I want you to look at this. The exercise itself is that is trust. I must trust. We are to depend. We are to wholly to rest upon Him, commit all we have to Him, and confide all that we have in Him. As a child trusts his parents, or a passenger trusts a vessel to the pilot. Trust in Him at all times is temporal. Trust in Him for all spiritual things. Trust in Him for all eternal things. The duration of this confidence, how long? Forever! That's a long time. That's a long time. I must trust Him forever in my health, my sickness, my prosperity, my adversities. I must trust Him in life and death and time and eternity. Our life must be one of unvarying trust in God. I must trust in Him. The motive. What's the motive? For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In the Lord there is all sufficiency, strength, power for to affect all our necessities require, no want which He cannot supply, no misery that He cannot remove, no enemy that He cannot overpower, no danger that He cannot extricate, no possible good that He cannot easily impart. it is God who will take care of me, not me. I'm on borrowed time. I'm breathing His air. Let me tell you something. Try to breathe your own air. It'll last 3 minutes at the most. All sufficiency is everlasting. Look at it. It says everlasting strength. Same as all generation past. The past of the antediluvian, to the patriarch, to the prophet, to the apostles, the martyrs, confessors, and on, same, now, still, infinite, and will be same forever. He has never changed. His eternity will render Him the source of unending blessedness to His people. Other sources of comfort forever suitable and are mutable. The fashion of His world passes away, but Jehovah changes not. The same through the countless age of eternity. Now, what am I going to do with all that? Well, the subject ought to excite us to understand who professes to love God. Careful understanding, are your souls stayed upon God? Are you stayed on God? Can you say, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. When the baby dies, when the wife dies, when the husband dies, when the child, teenager, when crazy things happen in life, can you say, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Can you say that? Because that's exactly what He's talking about here. This is not some little nursery rhyme. This is truth. Amen. And it's about time some of you rear up and understand that this is a rough world. It's a hideous world. The devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't care. No, but most other people. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 116, and I thought that all men are liars. Man, this world is crazy. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Do you enjoy this peace? This perfect peace of God which passes all understanding. Do you enjoy that? Are you trusting in the Lord? Is He your hope and confident? The subject is full of comfort to His people. Here's a fountain of consolation in trouble. A hiding place in storm. A joy in life. A joy in death. All other objects of confidence will be found delusive, insufficient. Our health, our riches, our friend, our mere profession, our own righteousness. We would urge all men who wish to secure certain blessedness to trust only in the Lord forever. What's the end result? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hey, are you going to go through some stuff? He said, don't you be afraid. Hey, was this year crazy for you guys? Crazy! I'm looking around here. I'm looking at people. You've been through crazy stuff this year. Crazy stuff. And then I look out here and I see blessings. I see a young lady that's been praying for a man and she finally got one. Don't you let him get away. I look out here and I see some families with babies. I look out here at families that thought they lost, but now they still have. I've seen some that have lost. I've seen some of you that just been through hell. And that's very insignificant because that's truly not what really hell is, but I use that as an illustration. You've been through some pretty tough times. Life has changed, Roy. Carol. Mrs. Hobbs, I think of all of you. Every one of you has been through it. Ms. Fern. Diana. When I say those words, I think of you, and I think of the crazy things going on. Sherry. Been through it. But the end result, so I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I'm reading this and I'm saying, good night. When I'm going through the troubled sea and I'm not having peace, that's not good. I must back up and say, hey, where did I miss that memo? I must come back and say, whoa, hey, why am I not having peace here? Because Jesus said, I'll give you peace if you want it. Trouble is, you got to go after it. You got to trust him in it. Things are not going to be easy. I sat at a dinner table today, and I talked to a lady, and she said her husband has Alzheimer's, and he walked away from his house last night, late at night, and they had the sheriff and the police out looking for him in his bare feet with his dog. I was sitting there eating, and then there's a little guy, 20 months old, I think, something like that, and he is just tearing the place apart. He's eating food off my plate, trying to get it off Marcia's plate. Finally, I gave him my bowl of green beans, and he liked those, but they were gone, and he was after other stuff, and French fry fell on the floor. Guess what? Plenty of French fries there. He has to go down, and he thinks he's going to pick it up and eat the thing. You know, and I thought, how ironic. Here's a whole circle of people. There's a young teenage girl there. There's a young lady that has that baby. And then there's the father. And then there's a mom. And then there's a grandma. And I thought, boy, that's the way the world is, and it's just a full circle. And I thought, boy, it won't be long, we'll be in heaven. And those other ones will still be scratching, trying to make a living, amen? And that's been happening for years, ever since Adam and Eve. And the thing is, if you can just find God, and his Son, who gives, and the Holy Spirit, who gives you this peace, you'll make it. You guys are just going to get married here on the 25th. There's a lot of things going to go on in your life. A lot of things going to go on in your life. I'm like, man, my wife and I, on June 14th, we're going to be married 43 years. Look, some of you other folks have been married longer than that. And we've been through a lot. You have no foggy. Good thing you don't. But you make it if you let this rule you. And you let your knees fight the battle. And when you disagree with him and she disagrees with you, you go to God and you get that peace that passes all understanding. Say, no, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. That'll straighten a lot of problems out. When you say, I was right, and he says you was right, you're going to have some trouble. Now, I know it's fun to make up, but whew, that between time fussing and making up, sometimes kind of tough on a person. You let the peace of God word in your heart and say, "Dear God, I have no agenda. I'm just going to serve you. And I want to serve you." It is 7:32. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. But I just feel that God's really speaking to some of your hearts about this morning's message and tonight's. I don't want you to miss out on hitting the altar tonight. If it's too late, you can just get up and leave right now. But I think God's trying to get a hold of us and really speak to our hearts about our lives. We live in chaos and terror too much instead of living that peace. I don't know about you, but I love peace in my house. I love people when they're loving each other and just enjoying the fellowship with them. I love that peace. Some of you are going to go home tonight to a house of terror. And that's not the way it should be. You know, just get a hold of these things that the Spirit of God spoke to you tonight through the Word of God. It changed your life. It changed your life. Father, I pray tonight that you'd have full control of our hearts and our lives. Lord, I know you gave this Word of God to us tonight that we would contemplate and we would think of the things that we're doing at home and doing at work. Lord, the terror that we have, Lord, instead of the peace, you said, "This peace I give unto you." Lord God, I pray as folks are coming right now, Lord God, you speak to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we put our foolish pride away from us, and we have that blessed peace that passes all understanding. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand. You're here tonight. Hey, how about it? How you doing at home? How you doing at work? How you doing just yourself? How's that heart? You kind of like I was driving that John Deere tractor down that, not keeping my mind on what I was doing? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Wasn't minding my own business. I was thinking about other stuff and wasn't getting it done.